Welcome, dear listener, to the Eldritch Hour. We are a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
On the last episode of The Star on the Shore, Charlotte and Mr. Barnum made a stop at the local library in search of a map that could provide more details as to perhaps where the celestial body Sterling witnessed fell. They found Stephen, the proprietor of the library, a man with a penchant for speaking exclusively in the third person, to be hospitable and able to provide the map they required. After gathering the information they sought, the pair made their way north. Detective Samuel Thatcher and the young photojournalist Amos try to make sense of the message they've uncovered on the back of a mirror in one of the many abandoned homes. Amos noticed the duo was being watched by something, perhaps their earlier quarry, outside in the yard. They gave a short chase back outside, losing their prey once again. They resolved to head back towards Main Street and hope to meet with the others, but take a detour to the parish cemetery, and after meeting Lump, they begin to investigate the mausoleum, where they discover the entrance to a tunnel underneath, and where Sterling thought better than to enter, our private investigator and his camera-wielding partner muster the courage and descend into the darkness.
You are standing outside the David Babson Company and Associates, headed north still on Granite Street. The fog remains thick. You can just hear the lapping of waves to your right-hand side. What is your next move?
Just keep going.
Yeah, I think we carry on to our final destination.
Sure.
Chapel.
You walk north for a few more minutes, maybe 10 more, and you do see a small building start to make its presence known through the thick fog. The silhouette of a steeple, a very unassuming building, white, old peeling wood, more so than what you've seen from the more maintained buildings in the town, have been undergoing obviously some strain from the persistent mist in the area, but this building seems much older and even less maintained, but outside the building does read Pigeon Cove Chapel. It's got a tall bell tower that's just part of one long spire into the sky that actually kind of disappears above the fog line there. There is a small picket fence surrounding the property. A few of the pickets fall into the ground, left where they lie. And there seems to be no activity at the moment around the building. And only one small, you could barely call it a street, between it coming off the road here and another small building that has a modest sign out front saying Cape Ann Tool Company.
Despite, like, the fog's weathering, does it look like it's, like, well-kept?
The tool company or the chapel?
The chapel.
The chapel, no. As I was saying earlier, it seems much older and less maintained than even most of the buildings that have been undergoing this trauma from the fog. The condensation has obviously not helped it much, but it seems to have been left to peel over time, even before the fog would have rolled in here.
Shall we take a look inside?
Absolutely.
All right. You approach the small wooden door. Are you simply knocking, or are you just gonna poke yourselves right in?
I'm gonna walk in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the door is open.
Standard practice. House of worship.
Yeah, it is. You find it unlocked. And it lets out a long groaning creak as you open it. And inside it's a modest interior that you're met with. There's some wooden pews. A couple of them look to be missing a leg, you know, a couple of towards the back have broken and not been repaired. But the pews fill most of the main room here. It's not very large. There's a small pulpit at the front with a table nearby with two candles, currently not lit. Very simple windows line both walls, looking out into currently just the whiteness of the fog. And there's one single stained glass window, circular, with an unrecognizable imagery. Almost looks more like just a abstract mosaic behind and above the pulpit, central at the back of the church here. There's one door at the back that is currently closed. And that is the only other would appear entrance or exit way into this room. What were you going to ask?
Basically that. I was going to ask if it was just a one room situation, but there's another door.
Oh, yes. Yep, there's one more door off to the left-hand side of the back. There does not seem to be anyone in this main foyer here at the moment. You actually also notice as you come in, all the windows are, in fact, closed. None of them are cracked or broken. And you, knowing you were the only ones open the door, wouldn't have let that much fog in. But there does seem to be a haze throughout the building on the inside. Not quite as thick as outside, but unmistakable, nonetheless.
Eerie.
Can I have, like, a look around, a little bit deeper of a look?
Sure, yeah, you can take a walk around if you want to give me a spot hidden of any kind.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's poke around. Oh, shit. 62 out of 45.
You are making your way around, and actually, it isn't that you're unable to find anything due to like an inability. It's more that there's just nothing here. The building is very empty, it seems. There are a couple of Bibles in the pews, seemingly normal, also seemingly unused, very old, like the pages feel a little caked with dust as you flip through the pages casually when you walk by. But yes, you don't really find anything too remarkable wandering around the chapel here.
Nothing up at the pulpit?
As you approach, there is another Bible up at the front. Although, I mean, it certainly seems to look like a Bible at first, but the outside does not bear the same resemblance to the others that you found in the pews. It has no text on the front cover, nor on the spine. It is leather bound, but in a darker leather, not the brown leather that you see of the other Bibles. This one is almost black, not quite, but almost. And it does look recently placed, or certainly at least has been used, as there is no dust upon it, and the pulpit itself doesn't seem to have any sort of dust or residue of any kind. It looks like it's been, the book maybe have been shuffled about on it recently.
And it's like I can leaf through it, and it is just a standard King James.
Yeah, you open it up and it appears. How close of a look are you taking?
I would just want to look at it just to see if it's a Bible.
You flip through and there are passages that look to be numbered. Some of the text is in red. You catch the name Jesus.
Yep, it's the Bible right here.
Can I take a deeper look at it?
This guy's name written all over it.
Yes, Charlotte, if you would like to inspect the book for me.
Yes, what skill is that?
Do you have a... Let's see.
I got a library.
Give me a library use roll here.
Yippee.
Ooh, 42 versus 63. Regular success. Perfect. As you're thumbing through, there is certainly passages you recognize. And you can see that there is some handwritten notes, and maybe Sterling passed over them, but you stop to read a couple. And they do mention God, or a God, but it's always preceded by the word the God, or my God. And some of the passages you notice are even, some of the words are crossed out and then replaced with what looks to be gibberish. Just letters and very chicken scratchy.
You're very religious.
Not especially, but these notes seem strange.
What do you mean, notes?
Who I guess the priest, whoever's like leading services here, they write notes in the margins, and they also cross out words in some of the passages to replace them, but I can't make out any of the replaced words, not very well at least.
Do you think it corresponds to the other Bibles we found? You cross-reference it, perhaps? Find out what words have been eliminated?
Yeah, can I grab a random Bible from the pew?
Sure. Yeah, you take a look at it. This other Bible that you've decided to pick up seems completely normal. Nothing changed or altered about it. And the passages seem like that of a normal Bible.
Makes me wonder if potentially the priest is just giving people bullshit and just telling them that this is an actual Bible. But that's just a theory.
Do you not recognize it as a Bible? It looks very Bible to me.
No, it's very much a Bible, but it's just... It's a normal Bible, but then there's been edits made. And since there's none of these edits in the other Bibles, the ones that the actual churchgoers use, I just wonder where the reasoning is. Like, why?
I feel like keepers of the faith tend to make notes in their Bibles when they're dictating, you know, what their sermons are going to be about and that sort of thing.
Sure, but these don't feel like those kind of notes. It feels like they're kind of trying to change something.
Can I have a look at some of the notes?
Sure. Show him.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it looks to you, Sterling, to be just a bunch of letters, mostly consonants, just jammed together. A few apostrophes here and there, some strange punctuation, but nothing that makes any sense, or certainly doesn't even seem like a language that you would know in your moderate studies with other academics. Whether you can read other languages or not, it doesn't look like anything that you would have even come across before.
Does it look like a cipher?
Oh, give me a...
I have cryptography as a
right
as one of my hobbies and pursuits.
So I have an actual very skill. Good. Then I will absolutely take a science cryptography roll.
Because I'm a nerd. Oh, baby. Let's go. 10 out of 45.
Excellent. Hard success. Yeah, then, so you're looking at it, and while it doesn't necessarily seem like a cipher that you recognize,
right,
it appears as though it is probably some kind of coded wording.
Mm.
But it's not a... It's certainly not something like a simple shift cipher or a... See what I did there, Rod? We just had to use shift cipher in a different game.
Oh, you had to look it up
by somebody else. Yeah, led
back
by somebody else. Yeah.
I was impressed you knew what that was. Awesome.
look at you go.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a simple shift cipher of any kind, but... It's possible that you could decode this, you think, given enough time and obviously finding some sort of key.
Hmm.
Can you... Is this the only code you found in the book?
The only one that stood out, at least. I didn't flip through the entire book, but...
Do you have the capacity to write this down, perhaps?
Sure. Yeah, I imagine I have, a writing utensil in my bag or something. Just pull out, a little pencil.
Sure, yeah.
Just rip out a page in one of the Bibles.
Well, I was hoping without a trace, but you know.
Oh, but you didn't say that.
You're right. You know, I was just non-player talk. Non-player talk. If you that's fine if you rip out a page from a different Bible.
Sure. Yeah, we'll do that.
As you rip the page.
Oh, no.
You hear the door behind you at the back of the pulpit creak open. And you hear a voice. Oh! Well, hello.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize anyone was here.
Oh, we didn't realize someone else was here. Hello.
We just arrived.
And at that, I'm going to cut over to the other two. Into
bad vibes! Bad vibes!
The dripping of condensation around you, hitting the water on the floor, echoes throughout the chamber you find yourselves in. And you look down each of the passages to your left and right and to the front of you. They all bear the same resemblance, pretty indistinct from one another. All brick, appear to be all man-made, constructed with some proficiency. They seem pretty well designed. They're all archways. They're not square cut or anything, and there's no evidence of raw chiseled rock. They're all brick wall lined. But you are standing in a few inches of water, and you can only see a few feet in front of you due to the fact that you are holding just one lantern. What are you doing?
Who has the lantern?
You said you would have grabbed it, I think, because you were the one who asked me for it last time. Okay. So, or asked if you could find any sort of lighting around in the mausoleum. All so, right. Thatch has a couple of small candles and his lighter in his jacket pocket, unless you've decided to light one of those now, Thatch.
I decide to light one of those now.
All right. Yeah. What are you lighting? A candle or your lighter?
A candle with a lighter.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I assumed you were using the lighter as much since you had to use it for the lantern. But okay. Yeah. You're not. You are holding a candle, not your lighter proper. Okay.
And it's one of three ways.
Yes, there is a, they're all three tunnels ahead of you, are about 10 foot or so wide by about 10 foot high, and again, they're all circular in shape, but pretty, like I said before, indistinct from one another, all leading into just blackness.
And there's water on the floor, so there's no way to see footprints.
Correct.
Yeah,
the water, I would say the water is up to your ankles, both of you. And you, last time you had asked me if it looked like the water rose or fell in here at all, to see if it would be flooded. And there is evidence of like scaling and such, from the water level rising on the bricks on the wall, but only a couple of inches above where it is now. It doesn't seem that this room has ever been flooded high for at least a length of time. So,
flip a coin.
You got a three-sided coin, son?
I mean, we can narrow it down with the flip a coin, and then we can flip a coin again. You dick.
Flip a coin. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I'll like pat my pockets to find a dime or a quarter or something. I don't
have any. Yeah. Yeah. I'll accept that you have some change, sure, in your pocket.
Yeah. I'll just that's a two. So the middle. So sorry. That was a. Right and middle, or left and middle, and then middle and right now. So middle will be one, right will be two.
Okay.
So center?
Center sounds good.
Taking the center path. Okay. All right. Well, you start to make your way down this tunnel. And for a while, how quickly are you walking? Are you taking it very slow and cautious, or are you kind of just walking out ahead at a normal pace? I assume that you're not running.
yeah, I was going to go cautious, like picking my feet up, yeah, and not sloshing through the water to cause as much sound as possible.
All right, well then, yes, you're making your way cautiously down this tunnel, and it takes you some time. It seems like it goes on forever. It's certainly at least at the pace that you're going. And there seems to be no visible change, as far as you can tell from the lamplight. On the walls, just brick all the way down. And minutes go by, and even more time. Eventually it starts to curve a little bit, and then curve a little bit more. And the farther you get, after about 20 or so minutes, you've noticed that the water level has risen. Not drastically, but it's now maybe mid-shin, not ankle-deep anymore. But the tunnel itself, unchanging. And you also notice at this point, though, where the water level starts to rise, that the tunnel itself starts to feel like it's coming up, like you're walking up a bit. at a slope, perhaps. And you think you hear the rushing of waves, the roar of the ocean echoing through rock, perhaps, all around you.
The water isn't moving, right? It's still stagnant?
Only moving from you.
I'm going to suggest to keep going. Would be, if this leads to nowhere, then it's good to know that there's another entry point.
Damn.
And where that entry point is.
Yeah, keep going.
All right. You continue on through the darkness. Then the tunnel starts to slope down more steeply, and the water's rising as you go. The water itself isn't actively rising, but as you go down, it's obviously staying level with you.
Right.
And eventually you're waist deep in water. Now going straight, your pace is obviously slowed even a bit more. You're unable to obviously keep completely quiet as you make your way through. And the roar of the ocean is now not louder, but you feel like the ambience is different. Like, everything seems very quiet. And your sounds inside the tunnel are a bit muffled.
Almost like it seems like we're underwater now.
Perhaps.
How long have we been walking?
Probably 30 minutes at this point.
We don't see the end of the tunnel yet.
There is no light yet. But if you want to give me a listen roll while you're down here in the quiet, you may do so.
Ooh.
I scored a 12.
Right. Out of 60, that's extreme. Samuel Thatcher notices it first, but Amos, you pick up on it only seconds after. A familiar sound, some kind of slurping, wet, gurgling sound up ahead. Not from the water, from something else. Something almost animalistic, but like akin to somebody plunging their fist into a giant pot of Jell-O.
Gross.
And
is this a different sound from what the creature we were chasing after made?
It sounds maybe similar. The echoing off of the walls in the tunnel distorted a bit, but you could be led to believe that maybe it's the same sound, or at least akin to it.
It sounds from up ahead, not behind us, right?
Yeah, sounds. Like it's coming from down the tunnel. Still a ways off. Maybe at the pace you've been going another 5 minutes or so. It is distant, but it's echoing pretty clearly down here.
Thatch, would you be in front, or would am I?
I figured it'd be almost side by side.
Okay.
It sounds like it's just one, yeah. Josh, not more than one.
Again, it's everything's being echoed, but yes, you think that it's probably only from one source.
I'm gonna give Amos a look, kind of like, you want to keep going?
Yeah. Same look.
What? I guess I just have the handgun on me, right?
Yes, you would have your revolver.
Yeah, I'll pull the revolver out. Has that been underneath the waterline since you said it was waist deep now?
Yes, I would imagine if you were where would you naturally keep your revolver? Do you have like a chest holster, or would it be in your belt?
I was imagining a belt holster.
Then I would say that it's been underwater.
Well, I'll still pull the gun out because I'd rather have it and not work than be like, I assume it doesn't work. I'm not going to use it. I'll keep going forward.
All right. You move along, and as you do, the sound at first seems to be keeping pace with you. It doesn't seem to be getting any closer for a couple minutes. And then the further you go, you realize that maybe the source of this noise has stopped moving, at least at the pace that you've been going, and you are gaining some ground on it. Now it sounds maybe only 20 or so feet ahead of you in the dark. Again, the lamplight providing maybe only 5 to 10 feet of visibility in here.
Does the lamp have shutters?
I'm envisioning it as a, like a small bulbous lamp, gas lamp. So it is open all the way around. It does not have shutters on it.
All right, but he can pull the wick down, right?
Yeah, you could turn the wick down and lower the light. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak, but I'm going to signal to Amos. Like, I'm going to point at the lamp and then.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing anything about your candle, or are you leaving it
lit? I'll leave the candle up because it's not going to give that much more light as than this lamp would. So.
Okay. Yeah, as Amos turns the lamplight down, you now are left with maybe 3 to 5 feet of visibility in front of you. But the source of the sound has not distanced itself from you.
I'm going to give another look to Amos, like, this is it.
Yeah.
Very slowly go forward.
All right. You continue to make your way, and you keep hearing this sound echoing off the chamber walls. Just this. And you eventually start to see the silhouette of a figure in the distance, lit up just barely by your lamplight. Maybe 10 feet in front of you, just a glint of the flicker of the flame reflecting off the surface. It's shiny. Whatever this thing is out in front of you. But it would appear that maybe whatever it is, as you get closer, its back is to you. It seems large. Not much larger than human-sized, but bulky. Almost bulbous. And you can't quite make out the color of its skin, but it would seem that it's pale, almost translucent. As you get about only 5 or so feet away, it hasn't moved. It's still standing there. And then all of a sudden it stands to attention.
When I see it do that, I'm going to tell Amos to turn the light off.
Are you saying it out loud, or are you whispering?
Saying it out loud.
Okay. This creature, for that's what it is, turns around at the sound of your voice, and both of you are met with these large, pale, milky eyes with no pupils, bluish veins coursing through them, and the skin of this thing is just, like I said before, almost translucent. You can see the muscular workings and inside of it as it moves, and it's slick with water and maybe a mucousy substance of some kind. And its teeth are bared, and they're like needles. But perhaps the most peculiar thing about it is the small bioluminescent lamplight of its own, dangling out in front of its skull, off of some kind of protrusion. And it just makes this loud sound at you and starts to move in your direction.
Quickly, or?
pretty so quickly.
It's not afraid of light.
What are you doing? Before you do anything, I need sanity rolls from both of you. Ooh, failures on both counts. Could you both lose 1d6 sanity for me, please?
One what?
Oh my god.
D6.
Fuck.
Dang, that's bad.
Ooh, that's a 5. Five and 4, all right. Samuel, I'm going to say here that you obviously didn't lose enough. 4 is quite a bit here, but not enough to induce an intelligence check for a bout of madness. But I will ask that you give me a luck roll to see if you hang on to your revolver in this moment of panic that you're feeling upon viewing this thing.
12 luck.
Oh my god, 12. You drop your revolver. And Amos, could you give me an intelligence check, please? No, this is fine.
This is good. You don't want to succeed.
You want to fail this. If you succeed, you are fully aware of the situation.
Oh, this is still
thus putting
this
you in about
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, putting you into a bout of madness. But since you have failed with an 81 against 80 for the listeners at home,
so close.
Yes, you are just able enough to compartmentalize, rationalize, however you think Amos would in this moment, away this abomination that stands before him. Still, it's rushing towards you. What are the two of you doing?
I'm like put my hand out like in a stop motion and just like stop, Tom, hold on, wait. What is he still?
Well, my guy's whole thing is monsters exist and we need to kill them. So, I'll try to sidestep, like step to the side of the tunnel. How big is wide is this tunnel again?
10 feet.
It's about 10 feet. So you've definitely you're both at like shoulder to shoulder. So you've got plenty of room to move. But you are obviously in waist deep water, so your movement is going to be hindered a little bit. This thing obviously has a few feet between the two of you, so it's rushing towards you. And Amos, you hold your hand out to stop, and it does not seem like it's stopping. It just lets out another low guttural. Maybe a growl, maybe a gurgle, somewhere between the two, at you. And does not seem to be ceasing.
Good, good, good.
And you're just dodging out of the way?
Yeah, it started running at me, so I'm going to sidestep okay. To the left. I'm going to try to keep the candle above the water, because right now that's the only thing I have.
That's all that I have.
There's a gun somewhere in the water at my feet, but, you know, I'm not gonna... Soldier instincts kicking in, you know, you gotta move.
Alright.
We're not here to hurt you!
Yeah, I should have pushed Amos out of the way first, I guess, but...
Amos, this thing is not stopping, and it grabs you with two large, fin-webbed hands.
Okay.
Claws digging into your shoulders and just stares you deep in the eyes. The heat of this bioluminescent appendage on the front of its head getting sandwiched between its face and yours. You can just feel it radiating out against your forehead.
Jesus.
But it hasn't acted beyond that. It's just grabbed you and is staring you eye to eye. Thatch, what are you doing at the moment? You sidestepped. It's now grabbed Amos. What is your next move?
How big is its eye?
I would say about between four and six inches. Rather large. Almond-shaped.
And it's... how tall is it?
A little bit taller than you. Pushing over 6.5 feet, maybe 7 feet.
I'm going to try to close distance as quickly as I can through the water and shove the candle in his eye.
Good move.
All right.
So he just has me grappled, right? He doesn't have, like, I'm not picked up or anything.
Yeah, no, it's correct. It's grabbed you by the shoulders and dug its claws in a bit. You feel them digging into you, but not so aggressively as to, like, certainly not trying to tear you apart. It's just grappled you very tightly. All right. Do you want to give me just a fighting brawl roll here, Thatch?
Yeah, Amos, I just see this thing pick you up, and I'm like, it's about to kill him, so I gotta do something. Very badly.
Ooh.
All right. You stab at it with the candle, but you miss the eye. It just goes basically straight into... You just aim a little too low, given that you're moving through the water, and, you know, you don't have great footing now that you're this... deep in it, and it stabs more into its shoulder. You're just a bit too low, and the candle goes out, and it turns to you, and you meet its gaze in the darkness, and this little bulb of bioluminescence illuminates just the space between the two of you, and then it lets go of Amos with one of its claws and takes a swipe. Would you like to give me a dodge roll, or are you going to take this?
Dodge on this, but I'll go for it. That's a 47 to a 27.
Failure. All right. It slaps you hard across the face with its clawed hand.
Dude. Josh, no way. No way.
Holy
Are
shit.
You kidding me?
You feel the sting of its claws graze into the flesh of your face, and you're slapped aside, and knocked unconscious and fall into the water. Amos, you now have
you
one
have
shoulder
10 hit
free.
Points?
No, he has 12.
Oh,
so. But he's taken 10 out of that 12.
He took more damage than I have health, so I commend him there.
Wow.
To be fair, that was max possible. It has a d6 damage and a d4 of damage bonus, so...
Fuck. I was gonna try to reason with this thing, but, so he goes down, he's underwater now, right?
Yeah.
Shit.
It's knocked him
great.
Flat.
Where's my... Yeah, fighting's not good for me. Alright, I'm gonna grab my camera, close my eyes, and shoot the flash right in his face.
Time for a photo op.
Ooh, very good.
There's your flash. I'll give you the flash.
Give me that photography roll.
Come on.
The
Come
flash
on,
will
Amos.
Go off just fine. This is something for me to log for you later, sure. If there is a later to come.
That is a success so with a 50.
Excellent. You hear this thing let out a squeal almost, but it's wet and grating on your ears, and then just a loud splash of water hits your face as this thing turns and dives in under the water, and you hear it swim away.
Behind us or from forward?
Ahead of you, back in the direction you were just heading.
Okay,
so.
Keeping my camera above water, I want to try and grab Thatch out of the water.
All right, yeah, you reach down there and fumble through the water, grab a hold of, you get a fistful of his jacket collar, and you rip him up from the water. And I'm going to cut back over to the other two. I don't recognize your faces. You must be from out of town. Welcome to my... humble chapel. And this man that greets you is... looks to be in his late 50s. He has short gray hair slicked back, Although towards the back of his head, it seems to be a bit messy. You can see some of it sticking out in random directions, back behind his head and at the crown. He's just under 6 foot. His face looks worn from time and weather. He seems to be a man that you suspect maybe spent some part of his life, large part of his life, outdoors. But he greets you with a smile and bares his teeth and says, "What brings you here? We don't get many visitors in Rockport these days, let alone all the way up here in my chapel."
How's he dressed?
Fairly well-to-do, but in a suit that you suspect he wears often. It is, at one point, would have been very nice. But it seems to be something that he wears very regularly. Brown pants, brown suit jacket, more of a copper vest, and a red tie. Not done all the way up, collars loose.
Yes, we are new in town. Are you, Reverend Sarden?
I am. I see you've heard of me. Very good.
I extend my hand for a handshake.
He extends his, and he grips it firmly, but is very polite and formal about the shake, and says, who might you be?
I'm called Sterling.
Welcome, Sterling. And you, lady. And he extends to take your hand and bows a little bit as he does it.
I'm Charlotte. Just came into town the other day.
Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Well, as I've said, we don't get very many visitors these days, especially what with the fog and the local economy taking somewhat of a dive. But nonetheless, it is good to see your faces. What can I do for you?
Well, we have been through town to a couple of places and heard your name and thought we'd come see what all the hubbub was about.
All the hubbub. I can't say I know of any rumblings about me, a simple man with a message to give. Certainly don't, put myself on any sort of pedestal. What exactly is it that you've heard?
I think the message you speak of is the hubbub.
Hmm. Spoken to some of my followers, have you?
I mean, I would assume, yes.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeking the wisdom of the Order of our God? Or are you simply tourists here for a show?
I can't speak for Charlotte, but I feel like I'm seeking answers to questions that don't have answers at the moment.
I agree as well. Similar sentiment.
Well, all can be revealed with time and focus. What questions do you have? And he takes the book of his off the pulpit and folds it closed, puts it under his arm, steps over to the first pew and just sits down, opens his jacket, you know, has a comfortable seat, one leg over the other, and just smiles up at you, and then pats the pew next to him. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Josh Richter, and if you would like to make contact, you can find me on Twitter at The Eldritch Hour, or you can email the show at theeldritchhour@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TheEldritchHour.